welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritis. Today is July 1st, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope everyone out there is doing well. Already the month of July, we are halfway through 2019. Hard to believe. A couple things we're going to talk about today. First, up to bat is President Trump making history, stepping in to North Korea, being the first U.S. sitting president to do so. For those of you who have been following this podcast for a while knows that this podcast is about peace and prosperity. It's about free market capitalism. This is a step in that direction. There's always going to be the naysayers. There's always going to be the critics. I criticize this president. I'm skeptical of many things. It is my nature. But nevertheless, I have been consistent. I have been applauding this president in his efforts to reach across the divide, despite the naysayers, despite the Democrats, despite the neocons, despite the anti-Trumpers, whether it be in the United States or anywhere else around the world, to continue with what he is doing. His instincts on this one, I believe, are correct. Reaching out to Chairman Kim Jong-un is the right move. His critics are going to come out and say, how dare he step into North Korea? How dare he give Kim Jong-un that type of recognition? But you know what, folks? The past is the past. What's done is done. Can't be undone. We have to look forward. And let me tell you something. If the President of the United States taking a couple hours out of his day to fly into North Korea to talk with Kim Jong-un, to meet with him, to step into North Korea, if that can prevent war and bloodshed and the loss of life, of millions of people, I think that's something to be applauded. I think that's something that needs to be encouraged. I just don't understand people, because let me tell you something. If this happened a few years ago under a different president, President Barack Obama, everybody would have been, whoa, Nelly, look at this guy. I told you he's the savior. Here he is. He can walk on water. He can do no wrong. We told you he was going to live up to that Nobel Peace Prize he won for doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. What a joke that was. And remains. No doubt about it in my mind. If this was Barack Obama reaching across this divide, stepping into North Korea, everybody on the left would have loved him. Of course, the neocons, the Republicans would have continued saying, look, this is what he's doing. He's appeasing these people. This is blah, blah, blah. You would have had it. But guess what? That's the right move if it could be done. And so we have to support President Trump on this, because he is trying to prevent bloodshed. Now, what we're doing to North Korea, I mean, we are doing this quote-unquote maximum pressure campaign, putting on a lot of sanctions on that economy, crippling the people of North Korea, more so than what Kim Jong-un was already known for doing. So this isn't great, but it's in the right direction to get these sanctions off, to allow for peace and prosperity to take root. You have millions of people in North Korea. Could you imagine a united Korea? That would be a beautiful thing. I mean, historically speaking, the Korean War is actually still in existence. It's just on pause. That's all it is. It's been 60-some years, 66 years, this thing's been going on. Let's give this thing some closure to the men who fought that war. They deserve it. 66 years is a long time to continue with these games with no progress, with no end in sight, until Donald Trump became president and is reaching across that divide, not caring, not concerning himself with what others think. It's not easy. I don't anticipate miracles. Some of the criticisms may be well-directed. Maybe this is or was more of a photo op than anything else. I don't think that's the case, but it could be. The president was in Osaka, Japan for the G20 over the meeting. He said, hey, let's meet with Kim Jong-un. Let's see what we can do. Now, of course, we don't know what took place behind the scenes. This thing could have been done, whatever. But nevertheless, the president took to Twitter. He's a showman. He's a marketer. You want to meet? Okay, somebody picked up the phone, gave him a phone call. Okay, yeah, we're stopping in South Korea anyway. Let's meet for a cup of coffee, basically. And I pulled it off. You can keep these talks, these negotiations going. It's a good thing. This is peace and prosperity we're talking about here, people. Which is completely opposite to what we're talking about with all of the saber-rattling with Iran, which is a completely different story. Hopefully we don't get involved there. But that seems to be escalating, not de-escalating. At least in North Korea, there's back and forth rhetoric that is kind and polite and diplomatic, coming from the United States and coming from North Korea. We have to keep these talks going back and forth. Now, whether or not the president truly meant that he would invite Kim Jong-un to the White House, I don't know. I bet he will, though, over time. Over time, I think he will, if these things continue to move in the right direction. We don't need somebody else with nuclear weapons willing to use them. We don't need somebody who's going to continue to suppress his own people. We don't need it. I think Kim Jong-un might be, hopefully he's different than his father and grandfather. And hopefully he's willing to maybe not necessarily unite the Korean Peninsula, meaning North and South, but at least opening up the North Korean market to growth, to trade. It would do wonders for the world. It would do wonders for peace and prosperity, which is what we're talking about here. So I applaud the president. I wish him well on this. If you follow this podcast, you know I applaud this president on many of things. You also know that I criticize him on many of things. That's how I do it. If I agree, I say so. If I disagree, I say so. So we're going to keep you posted on this. It's a very interesting story. It is historic for the president of the United States to step foot in North Korea. Now, on to the Trump, Xi, U.S.-China trade truce. What have I been telling you guys here for quite a while? That one of the things that we have to concern ourselves with is the possibility that the Chinese will become more vocal with what's taking place, or what's not taking place. This is, you know, it's propaganda from both sides. You don't know who to believe, but that was my point. That was my point. Because for the past several months, it's really been a one-sided sideshow with Donald Trump and company running the whole thing. I said, you know, it's one thing to be a positive thinker. It's one thing to be a cheerleader for the United States. It's one thing to continue to tell people, to tell the world that there is going to be a deal between the United States and China, that it's going to be historic, that it's going to be fantastic, that it's going to be the best thing ever, that there's going to be a signing ceremony. Of course, none of this happened. But now you have to worry. Because I said, what happens if the Chinese, and in particular President Xi, but the Chinese in general, what happens if they start to speak up? What happens if they start to become more vocal? And you got Donald Trump and company saying, yeah, we're going to have a deal, everything's going fine. But then the Chinese come out and say, not so. Not so rosy. Not so great. Who will the markets believe? Because I'm telling you folks, if the markets start to believe a communist regime over the leader of the free world, we have a problem. Well, guess what happened? We have the minister or a spokesperson from the Commerce Ministry in China saying, look, only a small number of companies have been leaving China. Because this is one of the things that Donald Trump is saying repeatedly, that the Chinese economy is in the tank, it's going down the toilet, companies are leaving left and right, they're going all over the place, they're going to Southeast Asia, they're coming back to the United States, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Now the Chinese are coming out and saying, well, it's not really not that big of a deal. A small number of companies have been leaving China over the course of the last few years. Why? Because domestically, internally within China, costs have been rising. And a lot of these jobs that are moving, they're going to Vietnam and Cambodia in particular. And they're doing so because they have lower wages in Vietnam and in Cambodia. And most of these jobs that are leaving China to other countries are low skill. They're low wage. They're low tech. exactly what happened here in the United States. It's easy to blame somebody else. It's easy to say the Chinese stole our jobs. It's easy to say the Mexicans and the illegal immigrants stole our jobs. What about our domestic policies, which have been atrocious for generations? Nobody wants to look internally as to what we voted for, as to what we've implemented. It's always somebody else's fault. We will never solve our problems by blaming somebody else. This is our fault. We have to fix it. But nobody wants to say this. Nobody wants to take responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. This is the exact reason why a whole bunch of U.S. companies and companies all over the world transport their supply chains and some of their production facilities overseas somewhere else. It's common sense. It's profits. You're going to pay somebody $30 an hour, $20 an hour, when you can pay somebody somewhere else across the world $5 an hour? It's pretty much a no-brainer, unless you're somebody who is really patriotic and loyal to your home country. But even then, people can make an argument that say, hey, look, the goods that are going to be made are going to come back cheaper. So net-net, it's really going to benefit the country because we're the United States. We're going to buy most of this stuff. You're going to have a cheaper product. But it's still going to be up to spec. It's still going to be high quality, blah, blah, blah. Okay, they can make the argument, whatever. But that's the gist of it. So this is no surprise. Now, whether the Chinese are being honest here, again, this goes to the whole thing. In any type of war, the truth is always the first casualty. We know we've been jerked around for the past several months by President Trump and his administration saying there's going to be a great deal and then there's nothing. Now there's escalation. Now, after a couple months of a hiatus with no talks back and forth, now there's a trade truce with no deadline. So as far as I can see, the Chinese pretty much won this round. Because before, there was a deadline. There was a 90-day deadline to get something done, or more tariffs were going to be placed on Chinese exports coming into the United States. Okay, that happened. There was an escalation. Now it's a truce. What's going to happen next? Well, there's no hurry. No side's in a hurry. I don't believe China was ever in a hurry. I believe President Trump was more so in a hurry. He wanted something done. He wanted something accomplished. And I don't blame him. He's been hamstrung here at home by an investigation that has taken 2 years, that is still basically ongoing, not from the perspective of Bob Mueller and the special prosecutor's office still being open, but from Democrats who are clinging beyond hope that there is some sort of shred of evidence, shred of proof. If we can just ask the right question to the right person at the right time in the right way, we'll get your gotcha moment. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, despite the fact that Bob Mueller, the special prosecutor, is still expected to testify, I believe, on July 17th. So that's only a couple weeks away. Again, the circus is back in town. It never left. We'll keep you posted on that. But this was the point I was making, guys. Who are you going to believe? Who are the markets going to believe? The President of the United States, who's always saying everything's rosy and fine, or now maybe the Chinese are going to start coming out and saying, look, we don't know what this guy's talking about. We're going to continue to talk, but I mean, there's a long road ahead, which is what they've already said. Now they're saying, look, yeah, sure, companies are leaving China, but they've been doing it for years. It's nothing. They're going to Vietnam. They're going to Cambodia. It's low tech, low wages. We're not concerned about it. We're growing internally here. This is what we expect. Not a big deal. Now, maybe it is a big deal, but this is a headline-driven world in which we live in, unfortunately. That's a headline. How are the markets going to respond? Who are they going to believe? Serious question. And that's why the president has to understand that his words carry a lot of weight. And he has to be careful with this stuff because it does have consequences. So I'm going to wrap this up. I know it's a little briefer. I've been working a little bit of overtime for the man. I'm not too happy about it, but nevertheless, that's what it is. I know with my voice going and traveling the past couple of weeks, I wanted to make sure I at least got this one in because, again, I have to applaud the president on stepping into North Korea, extending an arm, an olive branch to Kim Jong-un. look, folks, before I wrap this up, another point I did want to make. You know, you can have these crybabies getting out there and saying, oh, how evil Kim Jong-un is and all the things that he's done and his family has done. There's no question about that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But again, look internally. How many bombs have sitting presidents of the United States ordered to be dropped all over the place? How many coups have sitting United States presidents staged around the world, interfering in other people's elections? It's a serious question. I'm not saying that we're an evil country by any stretch of the imagination, but there have been some things that we have done that are not so great. They continue to be not so great. Empire building, invading countries that did not attack us, spending trillions of dollars, killing thousands of people, displacing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people from their own country. That ain't a pretty picture either. It's easy to talk with your allies. It's the job of the president to do the hard stuff. And that's talking with your enemies or people who are not too friendly with us. So good luck, Mr. President. You're going to need it. But I wish you well. Thank you so much for joining me today, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure having you as always. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out. Leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.